In the name of God, the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We speak responsibly the words of the introit. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength.
Seek His presence continually.
Remember the wondrous works that He has done.
His miracles and judgments be uttered.
O offspring of Abraham, His servant.
Children of Jacob, His chosen ones.
He is Yahweh, the Lord our God.
His judgments are in all the earth.
He remembers His covenant forever. The wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. The Old Testament lesson for this Sunday comes from the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter. This will be the text for our meditation this morning. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of our Lord. We respond responsibly for the gradual, with the gradual. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The epistle lesson for this Sunday comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, the 15th chapter. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is the word of our Lord. Please rise out of respect for the words and deeds of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Holy Gospel for today comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then all Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he, John, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the gospel of our Lord. Having had heard these words of the gospel, we confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I
may be seated. Brothers and sisters in our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may the Lord's words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. The text for our meditation comes from the prophet Isaiah. I won't read it again, but it really shows the significance and what Christmas is all about and what is so special about it and why it is the big deal that it really is. How many, it's nicely decorated for Christmas. I always enjoy that. And I won't ask anybody to raise their hands. I would think I kind of know the answer to this. But how many people like Christmas? And of course, in this room, I would imagine most people probably do. Why do we like Christmas? For myself, there's so many reasons I can't even list them all. A lot of them have to do with food, but there's all kinds of other reasons too. But yes, there's all kinds of reasons why people might like Christmas. You could also imagine as a child what my number one reason for liking Christmas was. I always said that was the longest service in the entire year, because when I went home from Christmas Eve service, I knew what was going to be waiting for me. Somehow we would leave home and there'd be nothing under the Christmas tree, and we'd come back after the service and here they all are. It wasn't until years later I realized that my dad hardly ever saw a single Christmas Eve service. He would always duck out and go set that all up. But there's no kids here to ruin Santa Claus for. But yeah, that was, of course, a big deal. Not so much of a big deal anymore for me, especially since I'm the one that has to buy all the presents. A lot of people like Christmas. Right? Maybe everybody you know likes Christmas. Even if they're not Christians, they may still like Christmas. Do you know any people who don't like Christmas? I mean, certainly there are famous stories that have people who don't like Christmas. One of my favorite cartoons, which I've already seen this year, I almost have this little Christmas list I go through of things we watch, and that's The Grinch. He's the guy that didn't like Christmas. And then a play that I enjoy very much, we went to see it last year as part of our priest, and that's called The Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. It has a guy named Ebenezer Scrooge. That's the old bah humbug. He didn't like it either. And there's a lot of people who maybe they don't hate Christmas like the Grinch or Scrooge do, but they don't see the point. What's the point of Christmas? And I can totally understand that. If it's just about Santa Claus and gifts and ho 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 and cookies and stuff like that, I could see why some people would not really think there's much point in it. Why do we do all this? It just costs a lot of money, it takes a lot of time, it makes a lot of stress for some people. They don't hate it, they just don't see much of a point in it. Sometimes there's expectation that at this time of year we should be nicer to people. You hear that sometimes? And matter of fact, that was even, you hear these things on the wind or on TV or whatever. TV is kind of wind. Be a better version. At Christmas, we are a better version of ourselves, which is another expression of what I would call the Christmas falderall, all the kind of goofy things that people say that sound nice but don't ultimately have any real meaning to them, and we should be happier at Christmas time. You ever kind of hear that? There's that kind of underlying expectation that Christmas time should make you happy. What difference does that kind of Christmas make when it comes right down to it? I would tend to say not much, really. It doesn't, even if people kind of buy into that, and some people, I'm going to do the ho, ho, ho and everything. Come January 2nd or whenever it is when Christmas is over, life kind of goes on and nothing really changes. We kind of pack that away with everything else and life goes on. Why should anybody get excited about Christmas? Especially if you're not getting presents anymore like you did as a kid. The passage in Isaiah shows the reason why. The whole Bible shows the reason why. Because we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And, it's a thing in my adult years that I started to see more times the bumper stickers, that says, Jesus is the reason for the season. Something that might seem kind of obvious, but obviously is not obvious to people. And so the point of this sermon is not to get that point across. I would hope you'd already know that. But to emphasize the difference that Christmas does make in a person's life, and that this season of the year is an opportunity you know, for us to share. A lot of everybody knows that. Who do you know that doesn't know it's Christmas time? I mean, you probably have to get beat over the head with it. But what does it mean? It's an opportunity. People at least have some questioning, you know, what is this all about in some level? And so it's an opportunity for us to share the difference that Christmas really makes with those who do not know. So, does Christmas make people better? You know, are people a better version of themselves at Christmas time? I think, I don't do this, my boys don't even do this anymore. That kind of shows you they're getting older, almost 17 years. You can go on the internet and see videos of how badly people behave on Black Friday. And people are getting into fights and everything. I have no clue if that went on this year. I would guess it probably did. So in that sense, Christmas isn't making people any better. Do children act better at Christmas time? I mean, how many, you know, there was a time, I think probably one of them is, so where there was that whole, you better be naughty, you know, not better be naughty, that, you don't need that encouragement, but you better be nice, you know, that whole naughty, nice thing. If you're naughty, you aren't going to get Christmas presents, you're going to get a lump of coal, and otherwise, if you're nice, maybe you'll get some presents. I think that sailed a long time ago. I think I still kind of had that feeling as a kid that I better kind of shape up, you know, I got about a month to get my act together, and you know that way I can get some Christmas presents. But I think now kids are wise to that. I can do whatever, and it's not going to change it. I'll get my presents anyway. So there probably isn't even that going on anymore. Kids aren't even aware, even caring about behaving any better. They know they'll still get their presents. So people know that they're supposed to be happier. You know, they may not know the reason why they should be happier. My all-time favorite. I think I preached here a couple Christmases. You already probably know this. I could quiz you. What's my favorite Christmas cartoon? Okay, maybe you don't know. The Charlie Brown Christmas. Is and the reason is, and I've watched them all, and we have quite a few of them in our little Christmas watching list that we go through every year, including the Grinch. I love that too. But the Grinch kind of sort of points to the reason, sort of. Whereas the Charlie Brown Christmas, but both Theodore Geisel, that's Dr. Seuss, that's his name, he died many years ago, was a Lutheran Christian, so he kind of has it in there, but Charles Schulz was also a Christian, and so bam, in there, right in the, you know, the key point of the Charlie Brown Christmas, Charlie Brown's going through this crisis, as Charlie Brown tends to do. Charlie Brown's kind of an everyman that goes through this crisis of, I know I'm supposed to feel better at Christmas, but I don't, you know, and why should I? You know, and he asks the big loaded question, what is Christmas all about? And so Linus he's the guy with the blanket, if you remember, gets up there and he quotes the Luke story of the birth of Christ. And he finishes, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. I mean, that's like finally one show out of all the hundreds of shows on Christmas time actually tells you what it's all about. You know, that is why Christmas makes a difference. That is what it's all about. Christmas, you know, has a reason for it. It's not just because of the stress and everything. You know, does Christmas have stress for us? Maybe not for everybody. I try to avoid as much as possible, but nevertheless, that is there. You know, whether it's the shopping, the decorating, the baking, the family, the parties, all these different things, you know, sometimes the difference that Christmas makes for the average person is really more of a negative one than a positive one. Maybe it is a time of year where you have to see people and interact with family members that you don't normally have to interact with, and you have to be nice to them and all that kind of stuff. I know maybe this is a thing in families nowadays, but like my friend that I go see, I went to see him when I was up at Thanksgiving. I see him every time I go up north and we hang out. But his family, his entire family, all his brothers and sisters, he's my age, they don't get together for Thanksgiving anymore. Part of it, he kind of blames it on his nieces because they don't all get along because of political views and so forth. So they don't. Some of them get together and the other groups get together, and that's how that goes. They don't do that anymore. But that is kind of the stereotype that families get together for Christmas, and sometimes it's a bit stressful. So yes, it's not always so good. So I love Christmas for many reasons. That's a very enjoyable time of year for me. It never gets old to me. I'm not quite like Pastor John at Epiphany. He whistles, if you happen to be around church in July or whatever, he'll be whistling Christmas carols. As a warm weather person, that kind of, it doesn't drive me crazy, but it's like, okay, I love Christmas, but I'm not ready for it in July. You know, I'm still loving my warm weather. I don't want winter here anytime soon. But yeah, I'm not that crazy, and there are people who are always, what is it, always Christmas, eternal Christmas, those stores you go to and they have Christmas all year round. Some people's houses are like that, but so I love Christmas. One thing that does make me sad, I guess it doesn't so much anymore, I've come to kind of just deal with it, is that so many people, Christmas is everywhere, obviously, so many people don't know or even really care what Christmas is all about. And they may even be big Christmas people. They may have the ugly sweater and they go to parties and they have, they love Christmas. But they don't even celebrate Christmas. You know what I mean? Because what is Christmas about? Hot cocoa? Ugly sweaters? Corny music? That's not what Christmas is about. Basically, for a lot of people in our society, they have never celebrated Christmas. Their entire life, they could be 80 years old, they've never celebrated Christmas. Even though they may have more stockings and that than anybody else put together. They totally miss out on what Christmas is all about. And I've kind of come to terms with, I pray for them. That's where this opportunity comes in. And there was a time in my life, because I'm kind of like this, where I'd kind of, get scrunched at these people, they don't even celebrate real Christmas. Well, it's true. But it's not something to get angry about, which is, maybe it says something about me. But it's maybe something to pray about. It's something that, I just take it as an opportunity. I'm glad that people celebrate even whatever this is to them, because it's an opportunity to share Jesus with them. That's what it's all about. So they're missing out on the difference that Christmas can really make. Because most of them say, well, Christmas doesn't make any difference. It's a fun holiday, but it doesn't really make any difference. I've had the pleasure of, and hopefully you know people like this too, of people who have become Christians as adults. They weren't just baptized as babies and grew up as Christians. They came, and some of them have told me, he says, what a difference it was. Their first Christmas, the first real Christmas, where as Christians they actually understood what it was all about and it meant something to them. It was just like, wow, like this whole thing, it's like taking the dark glasses off. They'd never seen it before. They'd never understood what it was all about, And so they first time fully appreciated, what Jesus was all about and how exciting it is that this person was born and came into this world and all the things that they did, which, of course, is the whole point. You have to realize back in the day, Christmas celebration didn't start in like the 200s or 300s or 400s or whatever, because they didn't celebrate people's birthdays. That was kind of a foreign concept to the people of the biblical times. You celebrate what somebody does, not just the mere fact that they were born. You celebrate the things that happen. You don't celebrate just the fact that they... So anyway, later on we have the idea of celebrating a birthday. But again, why do we celebrate some people's birthdays? We celebrate them because of what they did, what they mean to us. And so that's why Jesus' birthday, of course, gets celebrated. Our text shows that Christmas is a big deal. The fact that the Savior of the world was born was a big deal. And then, of course, everything that he did, emphasized that. And so it also, and this is why we, even though we're all, once upon a time, here's how things change. If you're old enough, or if your churches did this, there were a lot of churches that did not decorate for Christmas this time of year. Because from our church year perspective, is this Christmas? No. It's Advent. I'm not one of those, I like seeing the Christmas, I don't care. It's not in the Bible, but it's just way, so anyway, before Jesus was born, there was all these thousands of years of people looking forward to this person being born. And that's why it was such a big deal that he was born and why it was celebrated, because they had spent thousands of years since the time of Adam and Eve where God said there will be a seed. Eve, you're going to have a child. There's going to be a child, not you're going to have it, but there's going to be one of your children's children is going to come and crush the devil's head. The guy that caused all the problem, he's going to take care of him. You got that to look forward to. And then more and more and more passages until you get in Isaiah where it's getting more and more specific. and you know, of this king, the son of David that's going to come and all the great things that he's going to do. One of my favorite stories, it's not read this year, it's whenever Luke is read before Christmas, is the story, and it just talks about John the Baptist, but there's a story about John the Baptist where he's not even born yet. All right, and so the Virgin Mary and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, they're related, they're cousins or something, and so I won't get into why, but Mary goes to visit her, and so she's pregnant with Jesus. Elizabeth is pregnant with John, and so the John and Jesus were kind of relatives, cousins. But anyway, so when she greets him, the John the Baptist in Elizabeth's womb jumps for joy. This little baby jumps. I've never been pregnant. I know that that's something kids kind of do. They move around sometimes. But Elizabeth realized this, that at Mary's greeting, because, you know, even pre-born, because John had the Holy Spirit even before he was born, recognized the significance. Wow, here this person finally is. And the baby, that to me is just incredibly moving. That happened, you know, that celebration, that joy of finally, you know, when you're really waiting for something, really waiting, and finally it's here, and that's the whole joy. And even at the week after Christmas, and sometimes people, because it comes close to Christmas, they don't even go to church that day, but where we have that song of Simeon, now let your servant depart in peace, whatever, and he had all these words to say to Mary as she was bringing Jesus in to have him dedicated. That was a part of the Jewish traditions and things that they were done anyway. And so even then, at that early age, this little baby hasn't done anything except wet his diaper, and yet this guy is saying such great things about this baby, to the point that the mother and father are like, whoa. I mean, we've talked to angels, and yet this is still pretty cool to hear all the things that this guy that we don't even know walks up and tells us because the Holy Spirit told us. So yeah, it's a big deal. And so, it, you know, that's what people were waiting for all then. You know, it was a big deal for Israel to wait for the son of David, because at the time Jesus was born, they didn't have their own king anymore. The Romans were ruling them. And the Romans weren't really nice guys, especially in Israel. And so they were like, we'd really like to have somebody else. Even back in the days when they had kings, most of those kings were kind of, you know, some of them were like David, and a few other was pretty good, but even David himself wasn't, if you know his stories, it wasn't totally awesome all the time. But, you know, like the politicians we have today, so they're looking for someone better, you know. And of course, it's what we see in the words of Isaiah, somebody who is much, much, much better coming, you know. All these people, even though they're not always knowing all the promises, were waiting and looking. And even today, people who don't even know what Christmas is all about are waiting and looking for something. You see that in the surveys. I pay attention to a lot of stuff maybe I don't need to bother with. But anyway, you know, there's always, you know, how many people think the country's going in the wrong direction? It's always like way high, and it's even higher these days. Yeah. Now, they may have no clue what direction they think the country should be going in. It may be 80 different directions, but they have this sense that things aren't right. And of course, we would recognize that that's very true. And so they're seeking something. They're wanting something, even if they don't know what it is. You know, and so people by nature, whether at Christmas or other time, are looking. You know, they know something's missing. And so they're looking to fill it with something, whether it's fun, work, toys, success, fame, drugs, sex, all the 60s, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, whatever, more work, whatever it is. They're trying to figure something. But what they're really missing, I would hope we'd all know, is they're missing a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That is what they're missing. And so that is why Christmas is such a joyful time. The text shows the difference that Christmas makes. Very briefly, you know, finally we will have a ruler who rules with spirit and wisdom and rules for the good of the people and not for just what they can get out of it. Jesus even said that. You know, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over it. That is, it's good to be king. I'm the boss. I tell you what to do. You know, type of thing. That's not it. Not, you know, not what they can get out of it, but for the good of their people. And that they don't rely on their eyes and ears. They know that Jesus knows the truth. He knows people's hearts. Justice, and I don't know how many of you complain about this. I, you know, I'm around people and we complain about how this or that's wrong. You can go whatever court trial that's happened, you know, last century, this century, whatever. And boy, you know, justice in this world is difficult because very few people know what really happened, especially those who are called upon to make the decision, the judges and the jury. They don't know what really happened. They're relying on what other people say. And so it does happen that occasionally the innocent do get in prison. Now, the joke is everybody in prison is innocent, if you ask them. But it does actually happen sometimes that the wrong person does get in prison. And it definitely does happen that the guilty go free sometimes. That is part of the injustice of life in this world. And it's just like parents. Parents don't always know who started it. You know, I got my two boys, and they don't fight too much, except maybe with words sometimes. They're too big. They'd hurt each other if they really got into a fight. And they've had taking martial arts, so I mean, they can really do some numbers on each other. But I don't know who started it. You know, he said, he said type of thing. You know, and the same thing, you know, if you're a sports fan, referees, umpires, they blow calls because they thought this person was safe or out or foul or whatever. Gosh, I hated being, I used to referee just basketball games. Just pick up games, whatever. He fouled me. No, I didn't. He's like, you got to make a call. Yeah, it's tough. You know, but finally, in Jesus, there is a ruler who always gets it right, who looks out for the good of everyone, not just those who have money and influence. You know, and that just try to keep it. You know, as we go through politics and everything else, I don't even want to get into all of that, but. Because it's a big hole to go into. But there's nobody in this world, even the people who are, I would think, better at it, are still imperfect. They're still not always going to get it right. They still maybe, you know, they may have the right heart, but they don't always do the right thing, maybe. All leaders are going to be imperfect in this world. But we look for one who is. And that's why I've even seen people say Jesus for president. Of course, Jesus is not running for president, but Jesus is king, and he will one day be king of all things. And that's who we ultimately look for. All other people are going to be imperfect, and you just try to go for the best that you can get in this world. But that's part of what's celebrated, as opposed to that. Second thing, and it's related, is he brings peace and harmony. You know, none will harm on my holy mountain. You know, it's hard enough with kids to have peace within a family. My sister and I used to fight occasionally, or at the very least argue, and it would drive my mom crazy. You know, it's hard to keep that peace, but here he brings total and complete peace. Here the lion and the lamb live in peace, just like Eden. He restores that peace. And if you have had family situations where people don't get along with each other, especially if you're not the one that's important, it can be very awkward and sad when Mary and Joe don't get along with each other and you try to have Christmas together. Type of thing, you know. And so we can recognize this passage. Yes, this is awesome, but it all seems like stuff that doesn't happen right now. Yes, I mean, and there's a lot of things in the Bible that are like that. This is promised, it will come, it's as sure as day follows night, but it's not right now. You know, a lot of these things, the lions and lambs don't lay down right now. Don't do that. You know, don't try to put them together and see what happens. That's not going to work out very well. And same also with people. You know, it's great, all these things that Jesus is supposed to do, but we don't always see a lot of that right now. You know, does Christmas make a difference? Does the birth of Jesus Christ make a difference some 2,000 years? Does it make a difference right now, or is it just something that we kind of get to look forward to? Again, it's true, most of it you can't see till he returns, but we have seen some now. You know, Jesus is ruling over creation right now. He's ruling over history, for he guides and directs us, still pretty messy, but he kind of keeps it on track to lead to his return. And so we are promised that God makes all things work for the good of those who love him. I quote that a lot because it's a big passage in my life, that regardless of the garbage and the craziness that goes on, God has promised that he's going to make it work good. It may not feel good right now, whether it's health issues, people issues, whatever issues. So, we can see the peace of Jesus Christ in action. One Christmas story, you've probably heard, some of those who are history people would know about this. In World War I, on a Christmas Day, I don't remember which year of it was, they're all in their trenches. I don't even know, the Germans and those people are fighting against the Americans and the French and all, you know, the other allies, the British. And on Christmas Day, it all goes quiet. And they end up, it was called kind of the Christmas armistice. The soldiers, not the generals or anybody, decided they're going to take a day off today from the war. And so, because again, they're all Europeans, they're all basically from a Christian culture anyway. And of course, the average guys in the trenches, they don't hate each other. They don't even know each other, but they're told by their governments to shoot at each other. Anyway, so they get up and they play. So they're playing soccer with each other. They're giving little. They didn't bring gifts, obviously, but they've given little gifts to each other because they celebrated Christmas. And then they had their kind of say, okay, now you got to get back in your trenches and hate each other again, shoot at each other again. But that just shows you, you know, the difference Christmas makes. That somehow they realized something. And took advantage of it. They had that little peace that Christmas brings. And we support a Christian ministry called Prison Fellowship. But anyway, one of the things you see in there, and it's not just Christmas, but you see the difference that Jesus... Here's these hardened criminals. They tell their stories in the newsletter that you get of all the terrible things they may have done, and then the difference that God makes. And now you see them getting baptized and praising God and the difference it makes in their life and their families. So the huge difference, you know, that Jesus is making in somebody's life. We may not, in our white bread worlds, see that kind of thing going on in people's lives. Maybe you do know somebody who used to be, I remember a guy in high school, I didn't know him all that well, but he was kind of a jerk. That's all I kind of knew. He was a couple years older. And he became a Christian. And wow, I was kind of like, do I even know you? because he was so different. Yeah, the amazing difference that Christ made in his life and the way he acted and everything else. And so, and it's important to realize, yeah, even though all the things in Isaiah aren't true yet today, but we already have peace with God. That's what we went through earlier in our service. You know, the forgiveness that we have with God, the peace that we have with God as his children right now. And it enables us to have peace and forgiveness. We can forgive other people because of what Jesus Christ has done. And so that makes peace in families. And sometimes it only takes one person to say, you know, I forgive you, or I, you know, to take the first move in a tense situation and be generous and forgiving. And then it kind of changes everything. Christmas has already made a difference in the world. The birth of Jesus Christ has made a difference. The change of heart and lives over the centuries show this. You know, all throughout the centuries, there's stories of how people's lives have changed because of Jesus Christ. You know, it may not always be appreciated by people when they celebrate Christmas, or especially those who don't even like Christmas, but nevertheless, it's there. And while they may not know or care about the birth, and they just like the presents, they just like the ho-ho-ho or whatever else, they may not care about any of that as the real meaning of Christmas. It's our opportunity, and I do. I pray and I look for that every year. I have a whole collection of Christmas shirts. To me, it's like it's a time when people are at least somewhat semi-directed kind of in the right direction. They kind of think about things like that, even if it's kind of the negative of Christmas is supposed to be making me happy, but it makes me miserable. And, you know, even as a teenager, it kind of made me a little bit miserable sometimes because I had these expectations that weren't being met about what Christmas, mostly because I didn't have a date for the Christmas dance. But anyway, you know, but I mean, that's teenage angst, and it's real. It may be fun to laugh at now, but it wasn't too funny for me at the time, you know, how Christmas is supposed to be, and it wasn't, even though I loved my family. And that's what a lot of people go through. And so it's an opportunity. And so I'm not trying to beat it into people, but, you know, I would pray that as Christians you would see Christmas as an opportunity. To the family you know that have that don't know Jesus, whatever, don't beat people over the head with it, but just an opportunity to show what Christmas means to you, and you know, and listen, you know, when people say, you know, at work maybe it's a little harder to do that, but I mean in families and parties and whatever else, well, this is what Christmas means to me, you know, when people ask, I don't know why people, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's an opportunity. You know, to share with people why Christmas is so wonderful. That God loved us enough to send His own Son to live and die for us. And it's Christmas is an opportunity to show what we celebrate, how we celebrate what God does for us every day. Every day for us is kind of Christmas, if you think about it. You know, and how great it is to have God as our Father, Jesus as our Savior, Lord and Brother. How we have complete forgiveness for our sins, that's something we should never take for granted. And eternal life, that's also, especially as we get older, that's a pretty big deal. And so as we share that with people, we pray that they would come to know Jesus is the reason for the season, and truly celebrate Christmas, maybe for the first time in their entire lives, and see what a difference Christmas makes in all of our lives. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Church, that God would continually feed her with His Word and sacraments as she looks for Christ's return, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church, that pastors would continually prepare the way for Jesus' return in glory by preaching law and gospel, and that congregations would hear their words in faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For families, that they would faithfully fulfill their vocations to love and forgive one another, even as they grow in the fear, love, and trust of the Lord, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For civil authorities, that they would govern with justice and righteousness as leaders appointed by God to protect the innocent, punish the wicked, and work for the common welfare of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and suffering, especially for Annie Marie Karenik, Glenn Kreitz, Cynthia Schulten, Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Sandra Avila, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Jeff Schaffner, Cheryl Ballard, Dean Saberly, Barbara Hanvey, Scott Papka, Bob Dittert, Donna and Donna Tolner, Robert and Donna Knopf. We ask that that as the day draws near, when the wolf will dwell beside the lamb, and pain and destruction will be no more, God would grant them patience, comfort, and healing according to His will. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who commune this day, that their hearts would be stirred up to make ready the way of the Lord Jesus, who comes in His body and blood, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Grant, Heavenly Father, that we may be kept in joy and sustained in hope through every trouble and trial of this mortal life, through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. May be seated. The Lord be with you.
With thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
Is he damn right so to do?
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all places, times, and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance, that they may escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do it, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to You, Almighty God, that You have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore You that of Your mercy You would strengthen us through this same in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Thy Spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace.